The views and opinions expressed by the hosts of Black Talk Radio News and any guests represents their views and their views only and do not necessarily represent the views of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. It is a Friday afternoon, September 15th, 2017. Broadcasting from Black Talk Radio Network. Before we, I do believe we have our guest, Kim Malanson on the line, but before we bring her on, I just want to read about this case. And again, I have done a little research on this, and sexual deception is a real thing. And it's an international problem. I came across stories like, for example, one out of the UK where a woman who was friends with another woman and were knew each other as women took on a I guess you would call it a alternate identity as a man and contacted this woman over social media and ended up eventually over a courtship, I suspect, of having sex with this woman. By blindfolding her and handcuffing her, I guess, you know, they were playing a game or whatever. That's how she convinced her to do it. And then put on a strap on and had sex with this woman. And I think this occurred a couple of times before the natural born woman, well, they both were natural born women, but before the victim found out who this person was. And that woman was charged with sexual assault. For that act of sexual deception. So when most people think about rape, they think about me snatching somebody off the street and kidnapping them and dragging them to a vacant house and raping them by force. But it's not that cut and dry. It's not that simple. Force can also be defined as coercing someone without any physical violence and then deception. So this is an international problem. So this story comes to you from Manila, the Philippines, as I was actually looking for information from the Philippines about why they were burning a effigy of Donald Trump. And I came across this story, which was unrelated to the other story. And let me just share this with you from IOL.co.za. It's coming to you from, again, the Philippines. Dozens of activists burned a mock U.S. flag as they protested at the U.S. Embassy in Manila on Tuesday, demanding that Washington hand over to the Philippines a U.S. Marine suspected in the killing of a transgender Filipino that the demonstrators labeled a hate crime. Jeffrey Law, 26, was found dead, apparently strangled and drowned beside a toilet bowl in a motel room in Olongapo City, northwest of Manila, shortly after he checked in late Saturday, allegedly with a Marine. Police said they have identified the Marine suspect with the help of a key witness. Authorities will file a murder complaint against him with prosecutors on Wednesday, National Police spokesperson Wilbin Mayer said. U.S. Marine spokesperson Colonel Brad Bartelt said a Marine was being held on board the USS Palelulu in the Subic Bay Free Port, about 80 kilometers northwest of Manila, in connection with a joint U.S. Navy and Philippine police investigation into Law's death. Goes on to talk about 3,000 Marines and sailors have military exercises. Let me get down to some of the details as they start getting into some of the geopolitical issues with China there. Let me see. Police said, this is the police saying this, right? Police said Law's attacker may have been angered when he discovered in the motel room that Law was a transgender individual. Or they're saying because of an argument sparked by other reasons. So they don't exactly know, But what they are reporting, again, if you're a heterosexual male and you're looking for a natural born woman to have sexual relations with, that's what you're looking for, a natural born woman. You're not looking for these artificially made women. You're not looking for that, or men who believe that they're women and they have taken on the appearance of women and they're getting hormone shots and breast implants and booty implants and, you know, very good at putting on their makeup. I'm telling you, some you cannot tell. You cannot tell. All right. And you get in an intimate relationship or, you know, intimate relationship, or you have intimate relations and you find out, man, I'm telling you, people will flip out. It's like it's temporary insanity. And it sounds just so similar to DeWanye Hickerson's case, who also was in the Navy. He wasn't in the Marines, but he was in the Navy, and very similar, communicating with a transgender individual by the name of Dee Wickham over an app. They met up. We've had Kim on to tell a story before, and we've shared it on different programs. They met up, went straight to the hotel, had sex, and then Dee Wickham, according to Mr. Hickerson, divulged to him that, hey, I'm not a natural born woman. And according to Kim Malanson, her son told her, you know, he doesn't really even remember what happened. Temporary insanity is what happened. So without further delay, I want to bring on Kim. I believe this is her line right here. Kim, do we have you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everyone.
Greetings to you. Good to talk to you again. Again, I wish, you know, these talks were under different circumstances and how I came to know you. But it is what it is. It's good to talk to you this afternoon. And what do you think about that story I just shared coming out the Philippines?
It seems that I was reading somewhere, Scotty, that a lot of the transgender community, they prey on military men. And I found that out just doing a lot of research into my son's case. That especially men that are stationed in other countries. The Philippines is one of the countries that has a very high transgender community. So, you know, until you really know the details, but again, with the makeup, the cosmetic changes, there is really no way until you're down and dirty that a man even still does not know. You know, until that information is divulged in a taunting manner, if it is divulged at all, you know, unless the man finds out. And this is definitely deceitful. It's rape, you know, it's characterized by a person's predatory action to seek a person of a certain, I don't know, but I do know that they are targeting and looking at military personnel because they're off on liberty. And these are men that have it going on in their lives, and that's something that's appealing to a natural-born woman. So that's why they're looking for these types of men. I've read one statement from a transgender individual who said the Navy men especially, they're very easy to give up their money.
Wow.
You know, so I'm just so it's not surprising, because it's going to continue to happen. And it seems like a lot of the cases that I've read on this type of rape by fraud and the result of someone actually killing the person, defending themselves, if you will, after the act has been carried out, has been military.
You know, since you brought this issue to my attention through these unfortunate circumstances involving your son and Dee Wickham, I've also spoken to people or had communications with people or observe people in the LGBT community are talking about this issue. And I've heard that, because we asked the question, okay, if you, why don't you just go to a website where a person, a man, is saying that that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a transgender individual, what have you, you know, this height, body type, whatever. You know how the dating sites right. are. But it was communicated to me is that, you know, they don't view themselves as being anything other than natural born women, even though they may still have a penis or whatnot. And so they don't want a homosexual or a bisexual man. They want a heterosexual
not
man.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. I've heard that before as well. It is definitely because they don't identify, and it's all about this new gender fluid lifestyle that people are taking on. So that's a new term that was invented, gender fluid, which basically means that your gender goes with whatever way the wind blows. You know, so today,
whatever
if
I
you
wake
identify
up feeling
as
that day.
A man, yeah, if you identify as a woman, everyone should accept that. You know, you have to be accepting of what I identify as, no matter how you were anatomically born or your biological gender. But it's so unfair, because that is not fair to someone who does not share that belief with you.
Right, right. I mean, it is. It's taking away my rights. Now, I recognize them as human beings. That's all I have to do is recognize you as a human being. I don't have to recognize you as a natural born woman when you're not a natural born woman. Again, I get along with everybody. As long as they respect me, I respect them. If you transgender, that, hey, you still a human being to me. You are afforded human rights. I totally do not believe in discriminating against you, targeting you with physical violence, cause I may not roll that way. But when you then bring me into your world and I don't know, you know, what's what, and then I find out that what I believe to be true was not true, then, you know, you have harmed me. You have intruded upon my rights as a human being. So, you know, I just want to make that clear. Now, the occasion for you coming on this afternoon, you had wrote me and said that there was some new developments that could, we hope, will end up in DeWanye getting a new trial. So I came across an article after you told me that I did some research, and I came across an article in March. I don't know if it was the same one, but the prosecutor was saying the same things that you told me, and that they didn't really even have enough evidence for capital murder charges or, you know, the death penalty. But they told that to DeWanye and threatened him with it in order to get him coerced. So what is this new evidence we want to share with the listeners, or these comments from the prosecutor?
What we're going to hopefully use with our new counsel is that we were not afforded effective counsel because of the fact that we did hire private legal counsel to represent us. That legal counsel did not do so to the letter of the law. And we were advised, ill-advised, and maliciously advised. DeWanye was given 5 days to take a term of 40 years. And that was under extreme duress. So we were constantly browbeaten until, you know, do not take it to trial. You're going to lose. This is Mississippi. You don't know who your jurors are going to be. These are jurors who will be prejudiced. And these are the types of things that were told and drilled into not just myself, but his father, our other family members. We did our due diligence. I mean, I was very active with the attorney on the case, throwing out all types of scenarios of different things that could have been done. And I don't want to jeopardize any further, you know, appeals options or whatever by going into too many details. But the fact of the matter is, she ill-advised, she did not give us the counsel that we, we literally hired her to do, because she was the legal representative for Duane. So not just, you know, later did I hire her. She was hired the day of Duane's arrest. So she had formed a bond with him, you know, to the point where just ethically, you would think that someone would have done the right thing. But I later, you know, just through discovery and research, and after his father and I just saying, we're not going to take this, you know, he did accept this plea in an effort to still the waters, because of the fact that he was looking, as she promised, capital murder with life without the possibility of parole. The death penalty had been taken off the table, and she prided herself in saying, well, I got death taken off. But, you know, we're still looking at 40 years. That's his life. He's 21 years old. So we were never going to just be at ease with the fact that our son was coerced into accepting 40 years for being a victim of such a deceptive act. And so that's where we are today, seeking legal counsel on trying to right this wrong for Duane. Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry. I have myself muted,
okay.
Kim.
I just wanted to make sure my phone
was. No, that was user.
Where we are right now, Scotty.
Yeah.
We're trying to get some attorneys, some legal people involved with wanting to accept this, because it's going to be various terminology that they can use to show that we were ill-advised, that Duane was in a situation where there was collusion and coercion, you know, all of that, that led to him taking a 40-year plea. So after the discovery of the district attorney's statement that he gave, we found that he said he didn't even have enough, barely, for manslaughter.
Right, right. So Kim, before we get into that, but let me... I wanted to interject, but I had user error on my part. I was muted when I was trying to comment on you describing the interactions with the defense attorney that you hired. So what I was saying was that over 90% of the cases in the United States end in plea deals. And that really does not happen in my mind without collusion from so-called defense attorneys. And saying exactly what you just described, you know, hey, you don't want to go to trial. You might get convicted. We in Alabama. You know, Alabama, you might get some races on us. So if I was you, I'd take this plea deal. We see this play out all across in all types of cases, not just these sort of criminal cases, but drug cases. Just they always try to coerce you. And to sign. So first, the death penalty was on the table. Hey, we'll kill you. They're gonna kill you if you don't take this plea deal.
Yes.
I mean, that's a lot of pressure for somebody to make a decision under. And then you said what? They gave him 5 days to make the decision.
5 days.
Yeah.
5 days.
Now, for those that I'm on BTR Community. That's at btrcommunity.com. That's where I post all my news stories in one thread for the program. And so you'll be able to find this story linked up there. And just look for the profile of BTR News if you come to the front page and you don't see it. But let me just share some of what you were about to go into from what this prosecutor told to the paper. All right, so says that other factors play. So this article is in the context. They're asking the prosecutor, well, why you didn't get the death penalty? Why you take the death penalty off the table? Look at how many times this person was stabbed. And so in this part of the article, that's what they're talking about. So he says other factors played a role in the decision to reach a deal, Lawrence said. But primarily the concerns prosecutors had was that every piece of evidence could be argued both ways and could result in a conviction for a lesser crime or even an acquittal. So it was like that every single time we found a piece of evidence, Lawrence said, other evidence sought by prosecutors did not pan out well. So he telling you they did not have a good case. Yes. So, for example, prosecutors believe Hickerson started communicating with Wigham long before the murder, but Lawrence said the evidence wasn't there to prove it. So they're saying that they didn't have any evidence other to prove what DeWanye was saying was wrong, that he met this person online and, you know, they did not have no long relationship, like had been dating already, and this was, you know, a killing about something else. So that's what it sounds like they're saying. Lawrence said the state believes Hickerson and Wickham were communicating on a private messaging app that could not be tracked. The strongest piece of evidence that I felt the state of Mississippi had was that the defendant burned the victim's cell phone, but that also severely limited our ability to discover what I think would have been a former communication between the two. Now, again, as Kim has told us in the past, yes, there was communication because of the dating app. This was all initiated online. They had never met each other face to face. And like Kim had said, every time DeWanye attempted to arrange a physical meeting, D. Wickham always came up with an excuse of why they could not meet. Now, let me find the part where they say, while I'm looking for that part, Kim, go ahead and tell us your reaction to them saying they really didn't have a strong case.
So after reading that article, I was stunned, one, because certainly my son and our family wouldn't have went through the agony of wrangling with a 40-year sentence versus a possible acquittal. So this was completely contrary to what our attorney had counseled us, and it was her job to find all the evidence.
Discovery, right?
That the district attorney had.
Yeah, they call that discovery.
They had.
Yes, I just want to reiterate what you're saying there is that she has access to the evidence that the prosecutor, because of the defendant. Yeah, so she knew or should have known that they didn't have a strong case.
But that was, the day before DeWanye told us that he would take the plea, he said, Mom, Dad, I don't want to die in prison. And at that point, that was very hard to hear, but we understood where he was coming from because he had drilled in his heart that he would get life without the possibility of parole. And in Mississippi, they never, ever grant lifers parole. This was something that was drilled not only in DeWanye, but in us. And so it was we were very afraid for him at 20 years old, never been arrested a day in his life, a very upstanding young man, and, you know, he was looking at this. And so we had to come to terms with that. But I have to tell you, we did a 6-family conference call with the attorney, and everyone on that call drilled her and brought up different options. And she kept telling us, oh, he took the bag. If he didn't take the bag, then we wouldn't be dealing with this. So she kept homing in on something that to us was in an act of insanity. DeWanye completely testifies that he doesn't even really remember what happened. Mm-hmm. You know, when after the discovery of he had been intimate with a man, he lost it. He has continued to uphold his story. He has not only told that to the attorneys, he said it in open court in front of everyone. I lost it. I don't remember a lot about what happened. So that tells you that there was a loss of consciousness. You know, he was acting on this diminished capacity. So what we are trying to get here is that she had every bit of evidence. You know, she could have refuted everything. You know, even the bag. She could have said it was an obstruction of justice. There were just different ways that this could have played out in our favor in DeWanye to give him a chance at least a chance at a fair trial. but she bargained against it from day one.
Now, let me read what the prosecutor said that really just underpins. It's like the prosecutor agreeing with you, Kim. So part of the article says a lot of people maintain that the number of stab wounds was determinative of a murder. But in Mississippi, manslaughter is defined as heat of passion. So this reminds me of when I talked to you earlier, Kim, where you said they don't have a temporary insanity defense in Mississippi. So that was never an option for you to put up such a defense. But they're saying that manslaughter would cover something like that. You know, so, but it's still not as good as a not guilty by reason of temporary insanity or diminished capacity. No, but it doesn't carry as much time as murder and what have you.
Yes.
And it's saying I didn't mean to kill this person, but it happened. All right. So, but I, again, if I'd have been on this jury and it had went to trial, I would have been voting not guilty. But that's me. But so Lawrence said, this is the prosecutor. So 190 stab wounds help the state show a murder occurred. No, it shows a killing occurred. But the defendant will also be able to show that he was in an enraged state and acted out of heat of passion, and therefore he would have an argument for manslaughter. This is what the defense attorney should have been arguing, given that Mississippi doesn't have a temporary insanity or diminished capacity defense. This is what she should have been countering with, that, hey, I'll take you to court. Let's go to trial then. Okay, you want to play these games? Let's go to trial. Okay, it's because we're in the red state. A lot of religious people may end up on it, just like she was telling y'all. You could get a bunch of racists on there. You could also got a bunch of people that ain't too friendly towards the LGBT community. Not saying whether that's right or wrong. I'm just saying the possibilities were there just as easy for acquittal as she was talking about for a conviction. This is disgusting. Tell you,
it is disgusting because we relied on her for her legal counsel. And again, this is not someone who was hired 6 months after the day Duwanye was arrested and the day that I received the call from his captain on the base. She was hired the same, literally an hour later.
Mm.
So she has been with this case from day one. And that's what is very disgusting about it. And that's why I can't just let it go. I can't.
Nor should you.
It's wrong.
Nor should you. No, should you. Nor should you. Especially with this information, you got the prosecutor admitting they didn't have enough evidence. So you lied. You basically lied by claiming you had evidence to get a death sentence. Man, this is so sickening. We have a caller.
It's awful. And I feel like, you know, even if it was his job to play, you know, I could play possum, it was her job equally to know that he was playing possum and to say, I'm going to call your hand on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want to play? I'm going to play too. Let's go to trial. Time and time again, I was so involved. I kept asking, what is Duwanye's defense? I need to hear his defense. She did not have answers for me. I have threads and threads of messages, of course, all say that I asked, what is Duwanye's defense? And she would say, I'm going to get back to you. I'm just trying to work out a deal. Everything was this deal. And I said, I don't want a deal.
See?
You're hired. You're a trial attorney. I hired you to defend him, and I need to know what is his defense.
Wow.
We never received a straight answer.
See, that's
never.
What I'm talking about. That's evidence right there. Here we have a personal story, personal testimony from someone who has been victimized by the U.S. court system, which again, 90+% of these cases end in plea deals, never going to trial, where in a lot of the cases, I would say probably the majority, you had a defense team and a prosecutor's team, tag teaming the defendant to get them to take a plea deal. That's so disgusting. We have a caller. Let me just put this out. I should put it out at the beginning of the program, but the telephone number is 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Hit star to unmute yourself. Watch your background noise. We do have a caller by the name of Whitney. Thank you for calling in to BTR News. You're on with Kim Malanson and Scotty Reed. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hi, everyone. I have several questions and comments because I feel that there's some type of legal ramification that need to be taken against the attorney. Because if this is an individual that never actually worked the case to begin with, that's frightening, you know, especially after being hired the same day. I feel like this could have been a situation where this individual was almost in cahoots with the DA, because you're automatically working on a deal from day one. At what point did you do any investigation as to the backstory of the person that was murdered? Did you do any investigation of the backstory of the individual who actually murdered the transgender person? It leads to a lot of questions, because to give someone such a long sentence was not a deal. Life is still life, and he's a kid. So 40 years is a very long time to sit in prison, especially when you are a victim of rape by deception. At the end of the day, a crime was committed by D. Wiggum, and that's what we are trying to hone in on, and that's what she should have honed in on as the attorney. And as reading the information that was given to us by the news media, and after he made his statement in open court and said what he needed to say, anyone would have been completely open as a jury to saying, okay, well, obviously there's a problem here. And the fact of the matter is that because Mississippi is a red state, he would have had a better opportunity of having conservative individuals on the jury.
Right, some religious conservatives. You're right. That's what I was pointing out. You're right.
So I honestly feel he would have stood a better opportunity at trial, but the attorney wasn't willing to gather the necessary information to work the case. You know, this is almost like an episode of How to Get Away with Murder, and she didn't even try. And if a TV character shows the ability of a defense attorney and what they go through to make sure that their individual that they are representing, that they were paid by, gets either a super reduced sentence or they get to go home altogether. What about individuals that have been wrapped up in situations like this before? Kind of like the young man in New York who was dating a transgender person for 6 months and didn't know that they were trans until they decided to engage in a sexual encounter. And when he discovered that, he choked the trans individual out to death. That guy was acquitted of murder because it was rape by deception. So why did the same thing apply to Dewanye? And I think it had a lot to do with legal counsel. That was the overall issue here. So I feel that some kind of legal ramifications need to be escalated against the attorney, because she did not clearly do her job at all.
No, I would agree that she did not represent her client to the best of her abilities. I could have went in and made a deal like that. Come on. You know, but
me too.
You know, like was pointed out, the defense is given access to all the evidence that the prosecutor has. So she would have known that they didn't have a capital murder case, that they didn't even have a murder case. And at best, they could argue was manslaughter, which carries decidedly less time than, you know, 40 years he was given in this nefarious plea deal set up by the defense attorney and the prosecutor. This is very disgusting, but I agree with your sentiments. this person should be disbarred. Did you have any other comments, Whitney? Okay, Whitney seems to have dropped off. Did you want to respond to anything, Kim?
I just want to say that I agree. And again, coming from the perspective of me just so involved, I mean, I didn't just become this way overnight. This has been going on for now into 2 years. I've been this way since day one because I believe in my son and I believe in his innocence. When I say to you, yes, I know what happened, and I'm so sorry that someone's life was lost, but my son was a victim. He has never, ever shown any signs. I asked her, did you give him a psyche eval? What did you do? I just kept crying and asking, what are you doing? Where's the psyche eval? Where is the intent to show that this person has done this to others? Everything, it's just disgusting and very frustrating that, yes, I went into so many conversations with her, you know, over the course of these 2 years, and it just led to her still, let's get this deal. And that's just, it's just disgusting.
Yes,
and
it
I
is.
Feel very bad that I was played into, you know, I feel almost,
You did nothing wrong. So, yeah, but you're just disgusted. And I've come, this has happened to my family, personally as well. Well, got a defense attorney for my little brother. I was in the military at the time, and I had came home on leave and talked to this attorney before they hired him. And he really didn't do anything to defend my little brother on a breaking and entering charge of stealing property. And they didn't even have any of the recovered stolen property to enter into evidence. Plus, it was put in the paper that the person who broke into the trailer had been shot when the homeowner or the trailer owner came home. And my brother had never even been shot. And what have you. And my brother ended up doing 10 years as a slave here in North Carolina. He's been out for quite some time. And I was so angry at that attorney. So I feel your frustrations. You know, it's hard enough coming up with the fees that they charge. It's hard enough on many families to come up with that money. And then, you know, to get shortchanged like that, you know, not to get the effective counsel that you pay for. So, Kim, we're getting ready to close out this hour. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us? Anything on the front of the gender identity accountability front?
So gender identity accountability is now a reality. So it is incorporated, and it is, our website will be going live on this Saturday. It will be plugged in, and that will be www.GIAAwareness.org. It's a very interactive website. There's opportunities for polling, and it just gives you a little bit about what the cause is for. And the cause of GIA is to save lives and to stop this type of rape by deception. And I have partnered with some very, 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 I'm so grateful to have met along the way the whole family of Black Talk Radio, and also Miss Joy Short, who is the author of Rape by Fraud. When Getting Laid, what is the name of the book? I can't remember. It's called When You Are Frauding Someone to Get Laid and Why It's a Crime. She just came out with it. And
wow.
It's just amazing. Yes, this is a crime. And she has started this initiative 6 years ago. And she said she is, you know, she's not tired, but it has worn her down because she says, I think the whole content is understanding one word. What is the word consent?
Mm-hmm.
What does consent mean?
Mm-hmm.
And consent is knowledgeable affirmation. It's knowledgeable. Consent is free of deception. So when you consent to something, you are informed. full knowledge of what you are agreeing to. Now, she also threw out a word, assent. So when you assent, it's like saying, yeah, okay, Duwanye knew that he was going to the hotel to have sex. He assented to doing that, but he did not consent to homosexual sex. He did not consent to having sex with a transgender. So there is a strong disconnect between consenting to something and to assenting to something. So, you know, in our life, there's wordplay, and I do this for a living as well. I get it. So when she broke that down to me, it made so much sense that we have not caught up our laws with what consent really means. And if you really look at it, there are several statutes that the transgender in question violated. There are several rape statutes that were violated that we pointed out and that I have access to show that this was, in fact, a rape by deception. So I'm just excited to get Gia off on the right track, and hopefully this can open up some dialogue. I'm still looking for that dialogue from the LGBT community or the trans community, anyone who wants to sit and have a conversation and just give us some feedback as to why and what can be done to change the way transgenders disclose their true born identity, conversation tips to help them. But this should be done, I'm telling you, not in the bedroom. It's not the place.
Right, right.
It needs to be done
like you
prior
said.
To even getting into a sexual conversation with a man. It's very important that that's done upfront.
Right, and you're supposed to disclose whether or not you got STDs. So, again, a person can have all the information they need to give true consent and to enter into an activity with another individual. But the whole point of Gia is to save lives, not to demonize one community or another, not to make excuses, because their hate crimes do occur against the trans community. But at the same time, though, we want to save lives by pointing out that, you know, this is rape when you do not disclose to a heterosexual male that you are not a natural born female, and that's what he's seeking. So, but thank you again. I hate that I met you, Kim, under these circumstances. But let's hope that something positive comes out of this. And the most positive thing that can come from this is the release of Duwanye Hickerson. Free Duwanye Hickerson. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Scotty, for always just being an advocate and having my back. I appreciate you guys. I really do.
You're very welcome. And I definitely would like to get more information about the book author so I can bring her on and have this discussion on Black Talk Radio Network. But I'm not going to keep you any longer. You have a good
Thank
afternoon
you.
And you keep up the great work, Kim.
Thank you. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Kim Malanson speaking to us about GIA, Gender Identification Accountability, which is asking that the trans community disclose their true sexual identities or gender identities to prospective sexual partners. Again, it's not to demonize them. It's not to deny them any kind of human rights, but it is to uphold the human rights of heterosexual men to make an informed decision and then make their decision on whether or not they want to deal with a person of that nature. Hello, this is Scotty Reed, and thank you for listening to this podcast and sharing it with others. Please consider making a donation to the U.S.-based nonprofit media organization, Black Talk Media Project, in support of its efforts to elevate independent Black voices. You can also support the work by joining the network's social media community, BTR Community, for just $24 a year. Black Talk Media Project is leading the way in the production of grassroots Black media.